welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Just over a month ago, the state released a long-awaited report from UD's Special Initiative on Offshore Wind. And the conclusions reached in that report beg the question, is Delaware finally on the brink of deciding to buy electricity from the offshore wind industry? Contributor John Hurdle attempts to get some clarity on the answer to that question in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me this week to tell us what he learned. John, let's quickly refresh people's memory. What were the key takeaways from the University of Delaware Special Initiative on Offshore Wind report that seemed to kind of reopen the state's interest in buying electricity generated by offshore wind?
Well, the headline there, Tom, is that the study concluded that the cost of offshore wind to Delaware could be about half or even less than half of the cost of fossil fuel generated power if the health and climate benefits of offshore wind were included in that calculation. And what's really going on here is that there's been a huge decrease in the cost of developing offshore wind since over the last 4 years, since 2018, when a working group convened by Governor Carney concluded that the time was not right then for Delaware to seek to procure wind power. But now the costs have gone down quite considerably. And so the question arises, is it the right time now?
And when we talked right after the report was released, the state still seemed somewhat noncommittal on this front. Now is some time to absorb the report. Has that changed at all?
Well, it does seem to have changed. I had a quick conversation with DENREC Secretary Garvin, and he was at pains to point out that no decisions have been taken yet on whether DENREC will recommend a state procurement of offshore wind power. But he did make some pretty encouraging sounding comments about that idea, and he talked about saying that he was getting what he called positive information that indicated that in fact costs have gone down quite very significantly, and I think all that is a change from, as you say, the non-committal stance that the department took immediately after the report was released at the beginning of April.
So how would purchasing power produced by offshore wind fit into Delaware's kind of overall renewable energy strategy? Because it sounds like it could be a significant piece of that.
Indeed, it could, and it's expected to. The Renewable Portfolio Energy Standard, which was revised back in 2021, it requires that 40% of the state's energy has to come from renewable sources by 2035. And of course, offshore wind would be a major part of that. I was chatting with Willett Kempton, who's a University of Delaware professor who headed up the latest report, and he argued that he was simply unaware of any way that the state could achieve that RPS goal unless it committed to buying offshore wind power.
Is there any sense where state lawmakers stand on moving forward with offshore wind? And I know we talked about it the last time we discussed this. You know, how necessary is their support to making this happen, to putting the mechanics of doing this into process?
Well, I think it's too early to take the temperature of the legislature on this. I attempted to contact quite a number of lawmakers during the reporting of this story, and none of them were actually available. I mean, I did hear from the offices of some lawmakers that they probably their caucus members just simply hadn't had time to read the report about a month after it was actually released. But we should say that the report was partly a response to a request from the energy committees of both houses, and so clearly there's some some significant level of interest within the legislature. The question is, how quickly could they act on any bill that was introduced? On the question of how necessary their support would be, that is also a little bit unclear, because the University of Delaware report anticipates that the whole process of procuring offshore wind energy would begin with a new law from the legislature. However, when I spoke with Secretary Garvin yesterday, he said that's not necessarily the case, and it is possible that the process could be kick-started with an executive order from the governor. So I think we're going to have to wait and see what the mechanics of that would be.
Yeah, and I guess it seems at this point it's unlikely that the legislature is going to get around to it between now and the end of this current session on June 30th. It doesn't seem there's the necessary urgency for that. But is there the need for some urgency from the state and lawmakers to act? I mean, what's the potential downside of them kind of dragging their feet a little bit here, not getting to it until perhaps next year?
Well, what I'm hearing from Professor Kempton is that there is some significant downside to any kind of delay in deciding whether or not to go for this procurement. I mean, one of the disadvantages, Mr. Kempton says, is that a delay could make it harder for offshore wind developers to take advantage of a federal investment tax credit, and that's a significant chunk of money. If a developer was unable to qualify for that, Mr. Kempton's saying that would add 28% to the cost of the wholesale offshore wind power, and so in his view, he wants to push this along as fast as possible. The other point to note here is that we're hearing that that the offshore wind industry is considering investments in other aspects, let's say supply chain aspects of the offshore wind industry in Delaware. And those could include a marshalling port, a place where wind turbine components would be assembled and then shipped out to their ocean sites. But the cautionary note here is that potential investors in facilities like that want to know that the state is actually going to participate in the industry. It's going to make this procurement. And so if it doesn't, that would be seen as a significant disincentive to investing in Delaware by the offshore wind industry.
One of the other things you do in your piece is you lay out some of the possible options for the state moving forward in terms of connecting with offshore wind. Can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what those options are for Delaware?
Yeah, Secretary Garvin said there's a whole range of options that are under consideration. One would be whether there's a standalone project, whether the state cooperates with another state, an offshore wind project would be based on a lowest cost, on making the cost of electricity as low as possible, or whether there should be some emphasis on economic development. And another major issue that apparently is not settled yet is how the state would arrange for the transmission of offshore wind power into the onshore grid.
And this all comes at a time with the backdrop of offshore wind really heating up in terms of activity regionally. What's going on right now regionally, and is that a big part of the argument for Delaware to really kind of get the ball rolling at this point?
Well, I think it is a big part of the argument. I mean, I think it's probably accurate to apply the word boom to the offshore wind industry in the Northeast and off the Mid-Atlantic coast in general. The current state of play is that 9 states have committed to buy 40,000 megawatts of offshore wind power by 2040, and about a third of that is now planned or it's under construction. According to the University of Delaware, the total investment that all of that infrastructure would represent is around about $109 billion by 2035. And one recent indication of this growing enthusiasm by the offshore wind industry to invest in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic was a lease auction held by the federal government for wind energy areas off of New York and New Jersey. That was back in February. And the demand for that was so it outstripped all expectations. Around about $4.4 billion was raised for the Interior Department from offshore wind developers. There's a lot going on.
And just to follow up on that, there are still some lease areas that are off the shore of Delaware that are available, correct?
Yes, well, one of those is being developed by the Danish major Danish wind company Ørsted, and that's part of that area is off of Fenwick Island down near the state line with Delaware, with Maryland. I'm sorry, and there's another possible wind energy area that the federal government's offshore wind agency has just put out for comment, their so-called call area, which would be a larger area immediately to the east of this of the area that Ørsted is developing.
You also note in your story that the state is looking to hire a consultant to help chart its path in this area. Is that another sign that the state's getting a bit more serious about this?
Well, the optics are kind of compelling there. It does look, you might think that Denrec wouldn't have gone to the trouble of looking for a consultant on this unless it was serious about getting into the offshore wind business. And I put that to Secretary Garvin, and he was at pains to point out that no decisions have made. He's never pre-decisional. And that there is what he called a very heavy lift involved in conducting the research and the analysis that underlies any decision to procure offshore wind and offshore wind power. And even though there's plenty of expertise within Denrec itself, the secretary says that it's necessary to get some outside help on that as well.
And wrapping up, is it fair to say this is kind of a crossroads moment for Delaware and offshore wind and really wind in the region?
Oh, I think it probably is. I mean, it's hard to imagine now that Delaware will back away once again from the idea of procuring offshore wind. The University of Delaware has made a very persuasive case that the cost has come down and that crucially no state subsidies would be needed in this. There is of course an urgent need to cut carbon emissions and every other state in the region has jumped on board. So Delaware is the only one that has actually 10 Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states that has yet to commit to buying offshore wind power. And so putting all that together, it seems pretty likely that this is the way that the state is going to go.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on where Delaware stands on jumping into the offshore wind game is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next up, we hear about a recent effort to follow the footsteps one enslaved man took to freedom through the first state. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.